longer the boy wonder. Age was creeping up on him. He lay very still. It was probably past noon, but the longer he delayed getting up, the better, for he knew that once he stirred, they'd be all over him. Honey, his live-in girlfriend, Harlan, his so-called valet, and Teresa, his faithful karate champion assistant. He heard a sudden movement in the room, a subtle rustle of silk and the faint aroma of white diamonds. Honey was a big Liz Taylor fan. In fact, Honey was a fan, period. So, why was he with her? Good question. The problem was there were too many questions in his life and not enough answers. Honey was on the prowl. Pretty blonde Honey with the lethal body and vacant mind. He sensed her standing by the bed, staring down at him, willing him to wake up. Too bad, sweetheart. Get lost. Not in the mood. As soon as he was sure she'd left, he quickly rolled out of bed and made it to the safety of his steel and glass high-tech bathroom, where he immediately locked the door. Ah, Nick Angel in the morning. Not the man he once was. Although still handsome in spite of 10 pounds of excess flesh, bloodshot eyes, and an altogether dissipated demeanor. He hated the way he looked. The extra weight he'd put on disgusted him. He had to stop drinking, had to get his life together. Nick Angel. Longish black hair, Indian green eyes, a pale skin, stubbled chin. At 5 feet 10 inches, he was tall without being overpowering. His handsomeness was not perfect, more brooding, mesmerizing, and in spite of being bloodshot, his green eyes were hypnotic and watchful. His nose, once broken, gave him the dangerous edge he needed. And now he was 35. Old. Older than he'd ever thought he'd be. But his fans would continue to worship because he was Nick Angel and he belonged to them. That elevated him to a rare and crazy place where nobody could expect to remain sane. It's too much, he thought bitterly, splashing cold water on his face. The adulation, the never-ending attention, crushing, stifling, suffocating, too fucking much. He smiled grimly. Welcome to the insane asylum. Welcome to my life. Reaching for the phone, he buzzed the underground garage, connecting with one of his team of driver bodyguards. Get out the Ferrari, no driver, and call the airport. Tell him to have my plane ready, I'm taking it up. Finishing in the bathroom, he dressed quickly. All he had to do now was make it out of the apartment before he was forced to endure any congratulations. It took him 45 minutes driving out of Manhattan as fast as he could to reach the private airstrip where he kept his two-engine Cessna plane. He climbed aboard, settled in the cockpit, and waited for clearance to take off. He sighed, a long, heavy sigh. When did it all begin to get out of control? But he had a solution, a plan he was about to put into action. Color me dead. Evanston, Illinois, 1973.
Please, Nick, please, I can't take any more.
Maybe, maybe not, but he'd been giving it to her for 20 minutes, and she'd only now started to complain, although it was more an agonized cry of ecstasy.
Ooh, Nicky, you're the best!
Yeah, so he'd been told. Making out was his speciality. It sure beat homework. And it certainly beat spending time at home watching his old man drink himself unconscious while his mother was out busting her ass working 2 jobs to keep the lazy slob in beer. Family life. You could shove it. Just like he was shoving it up Susie or Jenny or whatever her name was. They were in the back office of a small car showroom, a venue he used often on account of the fact he sometimes ran errands for one of the salesmen, and in return he got to borrow the keys. One of these days he planned on taking off, getting out of Evanston and bringing his mother with him. But first he needed a job so he could score some bucks. Right now he was stuck in school because his mother thought education was important. Mary Angelo had this crazy fantasy that one day he'd get a scholarship to college. Yeah, sure. A make-out college was the only place he'd get in. Mary wasn't into reality. She was into dreams. She'd met Nick's father, Primo, on a blind date when she was 16 and he was 30. They'd gotten married exactly 1 week before Nick was born, and Primo had hardly worked a day since. A carpenter by trade, he'd soon realized that picking up unemployment while sending his wife out